And we're going to have a brilliant time too. We might not be doing what they're doing, but we have the pleasure of listening to this fine young man, says his unbiased mum. No, sorry, that was a lie.
Shouldn't do that.
Says his very biased mum. Okay? Mums should be biased. It's not in the Bible, but I believe it to be true. If you're not biased and you're a mum, there's a problem. Father, bless this great young man as he speaks to us this morning. Thank you for his leadership, the things you've been saying to him, that he's going to communicate with us now. Give us open hearts, attentive ears. Give them to Matt, give them to us too, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you like to give Matt a round of applause?
Well, good morning. Thank you, Mother. I honour you, as it says in the Bible. You're a pretty good mum, too. It's great to see you this morning. Who's pleased to be in the Ashwood Centre this morning? Me too. Just make sure that this wire, it did work earlier. Is that okay? You can hear me. It's clear. Good. Very good. Well, we love to hear great stories, and we've heard some already this morning. Those of you wondering whether there's some kind of a sponsorship deal on the Freedom in Christ course, and the people here this morning were plugging it, we just happen to believe that it's a great opportunity for us to learn and know some of the truth that is in the Bible. And this morning, I think you'll agree, it is a great advert, although, of course, we're not all about advertising this morning, but we want people to step into the truth of who they are and what Jesus has done for us. Just a quick recap, just so we can get up to speed before I talk about what I want to talk about this morning. If you were here last week, or if you weren't here last week, I was still saying this, whether you were here or not. We talked a bit about our purpose, and we said that one of the things that there's two kind of purposes in our lives. One is becoming more and more like Jesus, which means all kinds of things, but it includes how we behave, it includes our actions, but most importantly, our character. God wants to change us into the likeness of his Son, and we've talked about that something this morning. It's included in some of the stories that people have talked about in the Freedom in Christ course. It's a very, very much a part of it. And then secondly, we said, well, if that's one of our purposes, becoming more and more like Jesus, then once that revelation has hit us, once that understanding has come, we've understood it in our own lives, then the second purpose is that actually we realize that not only have we been invited to God's great big party, heaven's party, that we become part of his family, adopted so that we can call God our Father, but actually means that why would we not want to invite other people to be a part of that? And we said that in 2016 and beyond, our focus as a church, we declared it as, we talked about it for a while, but said that we want to help people to find and follow Jesus. That's what we're all about. That includes all ages. And if you weren't here last week, then we have one of these. Who needs things on their fridge to help them remind you what the things that are coming up in the week? Our fridge has got plenty of things on it. We've got a little magnet. It doesn't have to go in your fridge, but it does have to go on something metal, or I guess otherwise you could use glue. Not quite as good, but it is pretty permanent. And we said that actually we wanted, as a church, we want to be a multi-generational, spiritually healthy, growing church. That's who we are. That's who we want to be together. It means that we are deeply passionate about helping children follow Jesus. You might wonder why we always make a big deal when we send the kids out. We just want them to know, and it reminds us that they are so important to us as a part of church. And we want our young people to grow up and understand what it means to make good choices as they follow Jesus. And for everyone else, we want to create a spiritually healthy environment where people can learn and grow and can serve others. It's a challenge, but it's not one that we do on our own. And last week, if you were here, I shared a story where I really felt that God was speaking to me, but speaking to us as church. And God was actually saying to us, I believe in you. And I'm not going to retell that story. If you want to catch up on the podcast, then obviously you know where to head for that. Two words in this statement, spiritually healthy. And I guess at the start of the year, there's a lot of talk about being healthy, isn't there? Some people in the room this morning may have got some personal goals to be healthy at the start of this year. Apparently, some statistics for last year, people who make New Year's resolutions and talk about some personal goals, some statistics that I found. The priority for most people in terms of making personal goals was to get fitter and healthier. That was 63% in this survey. Another goal was to drink less alcohol, another was to lose weight, another was to get out of debt, and another was to stop smoking. They were the top five in a survey that I found on the interweb the other day. And of course, on Friday, those of you who listen to the news, the government published new guidelines on the safe limit of alcohol. Did you catch all of that? Well, I'm not going to talk anything about that this morning, but it's interesting, an interesting time of the year to release some information on that kind of thing, of course. But lots of people are talking about being healthy. And in the next 2 or 3 weeks, I thought, well, what we'll do is, in church, we'll have a think about what it means to be healthy. And you don't need me telling you how you should keep your body fit and healthy. Let's talk about that later, but I'm perhaps not the expert. There are some very fit and healthy people in this room. Just have a quick glance around. You'll see some very fit and healthy people, I'm sure, who are nearby you. There are some people who do all kinds of fitness things in the church. There's a group of people who go cycling. Apologies to those of you on Facebook who get too many photos of people wearing tight-fitting clothing. Apologies for that. It's not compulsory, although it does make us all, feel like we are on the same team. And actually, surprisingly, those tight-fitting things are very comfortable. Anyway, so thinking more closely to what I've actually got in my notes, keep us safe and on track. Today I want to talk about what it means to live well and have a healthy spirit. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 says this: "Now may the God of peace make you holy in every way, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again." And in this letter to the Thessalonians, here Paul talks about three parts of who we are. He talks about body, soul, and spirit. And I guess you knew this already, but as human beings, we are complicated. Turn to somebody and say, "You are complicated." But it's true, isn't it? We are complicated. And actually, the three parts to us, body, soul, or sometimes we say mind, soul or mind, or our spirit, they all interact. And I guess you know that actually, if we are physically unhealthy, that can have an impact on our mind and our thinking. And in the same way, if there are parts of our lives that are unhealthy, it has an impact on other parts of our lives as well. And this morning I want to talk about what it means to have a healthy spirit. And how do we get a healthy spirit? Well, it's actually part of the reason that we want to dedicate ourselves to 21 days of prayer. And later on, when you get your Ashwood news, there's information, there's other information. By the way, Janet's had a very busy week. She's been doing Ashwood news and printing things and preparing things. So as you're reading your Ashwood news, just thank God for Janet, because without her, you wouldn't be able to read all those great things. So there's information that you'll have that will explain some of the background and some of the things that we want to think about in this 21 days of prayer. But one of the reasons for doing it is that we want to devote ourselves at the start of a new year to make sure that we put personal priority on putting God first in our lives and dedicating time to pray and to listen and to think. And actually, one of the key things is that we felt that God was saying last year to us in this season is, "Ask me first." It's almost like, I don't know about you, but there's lots of things that crop up in my day and in my week and in my life. And if we're not careful, we become very accustomed to reaching for tablets and pills and medication and consulting the internet and asking a friend, and all of those things are good, don't get me wrong, those things are helpful, but I just get the sense that actually sometimes God is saying, you know, ask me first. And that can sound like a rebuke, and perhaps in some cases maybe it is, and of course God disciplines those that he loves, and if he loves us, then there might be times where he wants to bring us into line with the things that he's saying. But why not, in these first 21 days, why don't we get used to asking God first in our lives? And I just get a sense that as we do that, our expectations are going to be higher, and maybe we'll come back to this at the end. But that's one of the key reasons why we would want to have, why we want to look at having a healthy spirit. But before we do anything else, we need to understand what the spirit part of us means, because, of course, it's not something that we can locate physically, but it's at the very centre of who we are. The Bible talks about our spirit being sometimes refers to as our inner man or our inner self. It's the part of us that connects to the spiritual world, but it's no less a real part of who we are. And according to the Bible, what is our spirit? Well, our spirit is fundamentally the part of us that connects with God. Romans 8 says the Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit himself, testifies with our spirit, if you like, little s, that comes to live on the, that we are God's children. So what's Paul saying? Well, he's saying when someone becomes a Christian, the Holy Spirit comes to live on the inside of them. Where? In their spirit. And this is where God speaks, and it says here, the Holy Spirit testifies. And this is where God intended us to function. If you think of that diagram, the body, soul, and spirit, the spirit being the innermost part of who we are, that actually God intended us when he created us, that actually from our spirit everything else would flow from that point. So it will affect our mind, it will even affect us physically, that as God does things in our spirit, that the outworking of that makes a difference to our lives. And I don't know if you're aware this morning, but the God that we're worshipping, the God that we've heard about, the God that we're talking about this morning, is a God who loves you, wants to connect with your spirit, he wants to lead you, wants to help you, wants to guide you, wants to be with you, as we've already talked about this morning. He wants to strengthen you. We spent a lot of time last year thinking about how God wants to strengthen us. And one of the ways that he wants to strengthen us is strengthen us in our spirit. So in that case, if that's what our spirit is and that's what our spirit looks like, then the obvious question is, how can we have a healthy spirit? And maybe this morning you're here and you've never really thought about having a spirit. Well, one of the great things, and we talked about it a bit in the Freedom in Christ feedback just then, is that actually the great news of Jesus is that we can be born again and that the Holy Spirit comes to live in us. And this morning, if that's something you'd like to do, then we want to make some time available to do that. But for the rest of us, how about five keys for a healthy spirit? And if you've got your Bibles and you want to follow along, I'm just going to use very simply the prayer that Jesus taught us out of Matthew 6 to highlight five keys that we can use to have a healthy spirit. And why not make these keys part of our 21 days as we press in, as we push in to God? So, key number one. And it's this: stir up your spirit. In fact, I guess I should have said before, how many people want to have a healthy spirit this morning? Then if we agree together, then that kind of perhaps that helps us. So number one, stir up your spirit. Have you ever felt like God is distant? Have you ever wondered how you can get close to God? And maybe you've come into a church meeting or a gathering and you started hearing people talk, or perhaps you've been involved in singing and worshipping like we've done this morning. Somehow we're aware of God's presence. Somehow we know, we're reminded of who God is and that he's with us. Well, what's happening? Well, we're stirring up something in our spirit that means that we become aware of God's presence. Of course, we don't need to be with other people, but there is something significant about church gathered to honour, lift up the name of God, like we have done today. And the start of this prayer that Jesus taught us to pray are these words: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. The starting point. And starting point for stirring up something in your spirit, in my spirit. There's something when we say Father that we open up our spirit to God's spirit himself. Say hallowed or praised be your name. We say to God, you are to be praised. You're the Lord. You're my rock. You're my strengthener. You're totally dependable, reliable, totally faithful. And actually, it's what we do when we gather for our Touching Heaven evenings together. It's one of the things that we do right at the very start, is we stir our spirits up and we invite God to come. And those of you who are able to come to our Touching Heaven evenings, they're a great time of just spending time in God's presence. And this is what we do at the start. We stir something in our spirits. Of course, you don't need to be with other people. As I say, you can stir your spirit when you're on your own. So why not make a habit of stirring up your spirit when you're out walking, when you're doing stuff, when you're in your car? Some people are great at this, I know. And if we want to have we want our spirit to be healthy, we have to take responsibility and stir our spirits. Okay, that's it. Number one, stir your spirit. Number two, what else? Well, we need to, I believe, align our spirits. Sometimes there's a battle going on. And I don't know about you but in my spirit, there's sometimes things that I know need to be done, but my body and my soul aren't always in agreement. I guess the best illustration for that is, for some of us, when the alarm clock goes off, most of us know that we need to get up, but how many people's bodies sometimes don't agree with what needs to be done at that point? It's very similar with our spirit. Sometimes there are things that we know God wants us to do or not do, but our body and our soul or our mind don't always agree. Sometimes there are times, I guess, when our mind, our soul gets anxious, situations crowd in on us, thoughts overpower us. And we've had some great examples this morning, haven't we, of people reminding us of things that have been spoken over our lives that may not be true. But they're often the things that we hear in our minds. We need to learn to listen to what God is saying in our spirit. That's why Jesus taught us to pray, Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We need to align our spirits so that we're aligned with the kingdom, aligned ourselves with the things that as it is in heaven. Say, Father, whatever happens today, may it be your will. Your kingdom come in my life, in my situation, in my circumstances. And there's an aligning that takes place between what happens in our lives and what is happening in heaven, and we agree together. An example of this in Luke chapter 22. Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane praying. And he says, Father, if you're willing, please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine. And it says, then an angel from heaven appeared and strengthened him. This is Jesus praying before going to the cross. And we hear this kind of conversation where Jesus is saying, I don't want to go ahead with this. I don't want to do this. But he says, but your will be done. And he aligns himself with the will of his Father in heaven. And then it says an angel came and strengthened him. Where did it strengthen him? In his spirit. And just as an aside, some people talk about the battle for the cross. And the battle that took place, of course, it was on the cross. But many commentators and experts say actually the battle for the cross took place in the Garden of Gethsemane, because that was the point. when Jesus chose to align his will to the will of his Father in heaven. And if Jesus needed to do it, how much more do we as the people of God need to align our spirits? So stir up your spirit, align your spirit. Number three, feed your spirit. The next part of the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples says, give us today the food we need. How many people physically need some food? How many people are looking forward to lunch today? Just a few of us. It's worth saying, I guess, that as well as 21 days of prayer, some of us may find it helpful to also include some fasting as part of that. So maybe some of you aren't looking forward to lunch. You've already decided you're going to start, get ahead early, and you're fasting. But actually, it's the same way that we're aware that we have physical needs for food. One of the other spiritual needs is that we need spiritual food as well. Matthew 4, it says this, it's written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And it may be obvious or it may not be something that you've thought about before, but actually we need food for our spirit. Nourishment for our inner selves, our inner spirits. And we need the words of God in our lives to do that. You know, the Word of God, the Bible, it's not just a bunch of good ideas and stories, but actually it's food for your spirit. And at the same way as the start of 2016, some of us look at our diets of physical food, and maybe it's a good opportunity to have a plan for feeding your spirit at the start of 2016. To put things in place, to plan and to read God's word. And of course, there's lots of great resources to do that. I know many of us in this room use plans, Bible plans, and it's all clever stuff these days, online, or of course there's paper copies of things that help us just to put a pattern in our lives for reading God's word in a structured way. And many of those things can be helpful because there's also some explanation. Those of you who there's a great Bible in a Year as part of the online YouView Bible app that Nikki Gumbel has put together, which is brilliant. It's really helpful, has some explanation as you read the Bible in a year, and there's explanation on what you've read, which is great. Of course, there's other things as well, and if you're part of a life group, you can of course talk to find out what other people do. But let's just make an agreement that if we want our spirits to be healthy, that part of that will include feeding our spirits with God's word. The fourth key this morning is this: keep your spirit free. I heard somebody talk about if you had an allergy to peanuts or an allergy to animals, what would you do? Well, you'd avoid an animal eating peanuts, wouldn't you? I just thought of that. But it's true. If our allergies, the things that we know that we're allergic to, we naturally avoid them, don't we? And actually, there are things that you may not have thought about it this before, but there are things that are allergic to our spirits. Matthew 6, reading a bit more on this, the prayer Jesus' prayer says, "Forgive us for doing wrong." It's one of the things that we're allergic to. It's called sin. As we forgive others, and unforgiveness is allergic to our spirit. So forgive us for doing wrong as we forgive others. If we refuse to forgive others, we find that it's allergic to our spirit. And just after Jesus has finished explaining this prayer, he it's almost like he re-emphasizes his point. He almost talks about, just underlines the whole issue of forgiveness. And those of you who've done the Freedom in Christ course, you'll know this is one of the key areas for us to be free and to keep our spirits free. Jesus says, if you forgive others for the wrongs they do, your Father in heaven will forgive you. But if you don't forgive others, your Father in heaven will not forgive your sins. Jesus is underlining that if we want to have a healthy spirit, it's so important. My soul and my body may not be allergic, but if there are if there are sin, or if there are things that we know will separate us from God, and particularly unforgiveness, it's toxic to our spirit. And as we become mature and as we begin to grow and learn in our understanding, we get quicker, or hopefully we get quicker with dealing with sin and unforgiveness. The Bible talks about repenting, to turn and to go in the opposite direction. And actually, these aren't just things that we do once and then it's all done. They're things that we need to make part of our lifestyle. And why not make it a choice at the start of our day to say that actually, God, if anyone offends me, if anyone hurts me, has anyone been offended ever before? Is there a few of us in this room? Have anyone ever been hurt by someone else? I guess we all have, haven't we? But actually, we can choose not to let it stick. And of course, there are bad things happen to good people, don't they? And we can be hurt, we can be let down through no fault of our own. And some of these things have a great impact on our lives, and it's one of the things that we talk about on the Freedom in Christ course. And of course, when people hurt us and there are things which happen in our lives, we mustn't minimize that, but also we don't want to be kept in a prison. There is a way out, and it's important that we find that. And often that way out is to forgive. Sometimes we need help with that, and we need other people alongside us. And this morning, if there are things where you just say, yeah, I know I need to have God's forgiveness in my life, but I need to be able to forgive as well, then why not get someone to pray with you? So stir up our spirit, align our spirit, feed our spirits, keep our spirits free. And having got there, how many people want to hold on to all of those things? Well, the final key tells us to think about protecting our spirit. Jesus said, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." I guess all of us would recognize that we're in a battle. And fear comes and insecurity comes. And maybe you, even in the last few days, you started out the year feeling great, but already something's happened in your life and circumstances, situations, and already you're aware of the battle that we're involved in. And the Bible talks about where this battle takes place, because although we might see things in our physical situations and circumstances, there is actually a spiritual battle that is behind all of those things. And Paul says very famously in Ephesians 6, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood." In other words, we're not fighting against people, but it's against the rulers, against the authorities, the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. In other words, there is a spiritual battle going on. So what should we do? Well, Paul gives the answer. He says, "Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground." And what does it mean? Well, again, if we want to have healthy spirits, then we can pray a simple prayer. And some people do this every day. Just think about this spiritual armor that is available to us: a belt of truth, breastplate of righteousness, shoes of the gospel of peace, shield of faith, helmet of salvation, sword of the spirit, which is the word of God. Just imagine for a moment what it would look like if you went out onto the battlefield without your clothes on. Don't think about it for too long. But just imagine, if you're going into a battle, there's no way that you would go out without wearing the armour that you need to fight in a battle, is there? And yet, sometimes, if we're not careful, spiritually, we perhaps don't use this armour that is available to us. And one of the things that we mentioned, that Molly mentioned this morning, is that in this 21 days, we want to put into place something that we did a while ago that we want to kind of relaunch, do a bit of a refresh on it. And it's something called the Prayer Shield. And it's based on this passage in Ephesians that talks about the shield of faith. And it's a slightly different image, if you like, in terms of the shield of faith. This concept is based on something called the Roman phalanx. Some of you will be aware of that if you study history or Romans or shields. But actually, the idea is that it creates a hedge of protection. So one shield is great, but actually, what the Romans used to do, they used to have this shield of protection. And you can see a picture of it there. I think that's a pretty good representation of actually what it looked like. So there was a set of protection at the front, but also at the top, and also at the sides as well. And I think actually the idea was there wasn't actually protection at the back, if I've understood and remembered it correctly, because there's so much protection at the front and the sides and the top that actually you didn't need the protection at the back because other people had got you covered. And what we want to be able to do is to create this in terms of the church. And so in order to practically make it work, we've got some information that will help us to understand exactly what we mean and what we're doing together. But what we do is we do this within our life groups, so that the idea being that we set up like a hedge of protection, if you like, around everybody who's part of Ashwood Church, and we ask people to consider to pray this either every day or on a regular basis. And what we do is we say we're going to pray for yourself and your family. We're going to pray for life, those people who are in your life group and their families. Particularly pray for life group leaders who care for us, support and watch over us. It's part of the way that we have a care and a cover within the structure of church so that we can look after people. The same way that we'll do this with the young people as well. They can be involved in this. And then one of the things that we did before, and there are other churches who do this kind of thing, some significant churches who've set this kind of thing up, and one of the things that they built into that was praying for leaders, an important pattern within biblical stuff. That's why we suggest that within your life group you pray for your leaders within that structure, and they will pray for you as part of that protection. And then also, we ask people to pray for Claire and I and other leaders as we lead the church, not because we're more important. I certainly don't think that. But as we serve and as we recognise the responsibility and the place that God has given us, we desperately agree that we want to have people praying with us and for us. So we've agreed that this is a healthy thing to do, and we'll give all of the life group leaders, we'll have a card like this, which will, there's a prayer on the back that we can pray, but we're asking everyone to write on there the people in your life group who we are going to stand and we're going to pray with and pray for. So hopefully that makes sense, and if you're not part of a life group and you'd like to be connected into one of our life groups, then we'd love for you to be able to do that. And at the moment, Gary and Pam and Molly oversee that in terms of coordinating stuff from a life group point of view, and they would love to be able to talk to you about a good place for you to fit as part of our life groups. Is that clear? Does that kind of make sense? And the end of that Ephesians 6 says this, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, says Paul. And as we close our meeting this morning, perhaps we just think about those five things. Because I guess most of us would agree that we want to live well and have a healthy spirit. Why not put some of these things in place in our lives to see our spirit stirred up, aligned, fed, kept free and for that spiritual protection. Because actually, if we have that spiritual protection around us, it means that actually it's not just a defensive thing. It means that we can be the people that God's called us to be, which has been a bit of a theme this morning, hasn't it? Let's pray, shall we, Father? So Father God, we thank you that you designed us to be spiritually healthy people. It's actually the way that you designed us to be. And my prayer is this morning that you'd help us both over these next 21 days as we devote ourselves to prayer, but of course beyond that as well, to develop some healthy habits of stirring up our spirits, aligning our spirits with your Holy Spirit, feeding our spirits as we read your word, learning to keep our spirits free and helping one another to do that, and then to have this hedge of protection around our spirits as we seek to be the people that you've called us to be. Lord, we thank you that you placed us in family. Thank you that we are a body together. Lord, we pray for increasing levels of spiritual health in our church, on our families, on our children, on our young people, in our life groups, right across the church, from the youngest to the eldest. Help us, we pray. Amen. Sing one more thing, and then we'll have just one moment for prayer as we finish. Why don't we